as we do every Friday morning until we're completely on the other side of this pandemic, we're going to have doctors on from UAB's Infectious Disease Department, Dr. Sonia Heath, Dr. Michael Sagg, to answer questions, to give us the latest and talk about how we're making it through and how close we are to actually getting to herd immunity and putting this all behind us. Dr. Sagg is back with us this morning. Welcome back in, sir.
Good morning, JT.
So I see that, you know, and you see it too, I'm sure, one of the biggest things right now is we're starting to slow down with the vaccines, and there's more vaccines available now than ever before, and you can almost just get a vaccine anytime you want it at this point. And I think the slowdown is it because people that want the vaccine have already gotten it? And we're not near 70%, so we still have a lot of folks that we want to be vaccinated but just aren't.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. If we pull back and just look at the big picture here, we didn't have anything going into December. We got approval, early use authorization, or emergency use, and then people were clamoring for it. Now that group of people have been vaccinated, and we also have enough supply to vaccinate everyone right now. It's just a question of folks working through it for themselves. If they're a little bit hesitant, they're not quite ready to go. But what we need is for everyone to get vaccinated, because that'll get us out of this mess.
You know, and I hate to bring it up again, but you hear it too, the politicalization of all of this. And, oh, the Democrats are pushing us all to, you know, get vaccinated. Republicans lean more on my own immune system deals with it. This is not a political issue. This is a medical issue, and you've said it time and time again.
Brian, it really isn't. It's just a public health thing. It's like saying that when we get on an airplane, we want the FAA to do its work and keep our flight safe. This is similar in terms of our government doing that. But let's put it in perspective. It was the Trump administration who heroically got out in front of this vaccine, got it done, set up the stage so that once the thing was approved, production could follow. That's very unusual. They put money, billions of dollars, into production of a vaccine that wasn't even approved yet, so that we would have the vaccine in case it worked. And indeed it worked. And that was the Trump administration.
Right.
And there's a really nice video actually right now from members of Congress and the Republican Party who are encouraging people to get vaccinated. So you're right. We need to put the politics aside. And what we should focus on is that when we get vaccinated, and you know it because you've been vaccinated, I know it, that I don't know what to call it, sense of freedom, the ability to go to a restaurant and not be worried, to go to a movie theater and not be worried about picking this up and getting sick, that is liberating. And that's what I want everybody to feel. It's win-win-win. Win for the individual, win for their family because they don't have to worry about transmitting to their loved ones,
right,
and win for the community that we all get rid of this thing.
You know, the hesitancy I hear from a lot of people is that this, oh, it's not fully approved, JT, by the FDA. It's only emergency approved here. And folks think that, you know, they tried it in the lab for a couple of weeks. Now let's try it on the entire population. We're all guinea pigs. This went through trials and went through studies, and there is no way the FDA would even approve emergency usage if it had not been proven to be effective and safe.
That's exactly right. And let's look at the numbers. So the study really only would have needed 1,000 people in the entire study to prove that the vaccine worked or not, whether it prevented infection. They had 40,000 people in each of these studies, and the reason they did that was to assess safety. And the safety parameters were very good. In fact, they were remarkable. But the FDA said, okay, we'll use emergency use authorization as we roll this out to more people. Now there are hundreds of millions of people worldwide who have received this vaccine, and the safety profile has remained strong. So actually today, this is kind of breaking news, Pfizer is applying for full approval today.
Right.
That they'll go from emergency use into full approval, and that just means that the data are strongly supporting the safety and the efficacy of this vaccine.
Our phones are open, 888-915-105. Dr. Mike has us on in Gadsden this morning. Mike, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Sagg.
Yeah, I'm curious. So you talk about, you know, how the vaccine is a health issue, it's not a political issue, and I respect that statement. But if that were indeed true, given the fact that, you know, the single largest contributing comorbidity factor are associated with obesity, then why aren't we also having a discussion about the impacts of nutrition and exercise and strong immune systems? Why is that being left out of the equation?
Well, that's a great question. I don't think it should be left out of the equation. It's part of not just health regarding COVID, right? It's responsible for health of all of us. I mean, I struggle every day trying to keep my weight down, and I try to exercise. I think we all should do that. That's not political. I agree with you. You're right in the sense that people who are overweight have more difficulty with COVID should they get infected. But there are plenty of people, as you know, who have been marathon runners who end up on a ventilator. So there's just no way to predict it. It's not as straightforward as only people who are obese, only people who are older get sick. In fact, now that most of the older folks have gotten vaccinated, we're not seeing them in the hospital anymore. That's one of the reasons why our overall numbers are down, because they tend to get a little sicker than others, and our death rates are down. But still, we have a large number of people in the hospital right now, most of them between the ages of 20 and 55, and we still have deaths, not like we used to, but we still do. So why don't we prevent those? Let everybody get a vaccine. But your comment is spot on, Mike. This is what we should be doing, not just vaccinating, but focusing on general health. That's a great idea.
Doctor, let me talk to you about where we are with India and what happened there. Recently, they'd have massive spikes in coronavirus here. And as a world population, we were all kind of on the same page with this. Now, it came in different phases, you know, around the country. But ultimately, we're all dealing with this virus. We're all available to get the vaccine for the most part. But there are still some spots in the country that are struggling getting the vaccine. And some, obviously, India, struggling with mass outbreaks of this vaccine. How do we not get India on the same page as Europe and the United States? What happened for this to go crazy like it has?
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, JT. So for those who aren't as familiar, about a month ago, 5 weeks ago, India had fewer cases per day than the United States. They had about 50,000 cases a day. And then through the month of April, a massive explosion of cases. I'd call it almost a tsunami. Now they're up to 400,000 plus cases a day, more than tenfold in just a day. And that happened in less than a month. For those of you who are wondering why are all the public health officials sounding the alarm starting back in last March and April, this is what we feared might happen in the United States. And we avoided it for the most part. With the vaccine, we're coming out of that threat. But India is not so fortunate. They've only vaccinated less than 2% of their population. And that vaccine will protect them. We need to get vaccine to India as fast as we can. Why? Mm-hmm. First off, humanitarian, but also that this virus exploding in other parts of the world is a threat to us in the long run, because variants can emerge in that outbreak
right.
that might not be protected by the immune system response of the vaccine for us. So we need to make sure that those variants don't emerge.
Well, that was my next question. With the Pfizer wanting full approval and breaking in the news this morning from the FDA, does that change distribution, logistics of it around the world, full approval? What does that do as far as just emergency use approval, as far as being a better situation?
Yeah, there are two big things. One is it confirms for the public that the safety data that was apparent early on has been confirmed. And now we have hundreds of millions of people have been vaccinated, and safety profile is now well established. But the second thing is, and this is more of a legal issue, there are some restrictions on mandating vaccinations for emergency use products. But once it gets full approval, think measles, mumps, rubella, think for schools or that type of thing, there's a pathway to that if the school systems choose to go that way. It's very hard to require it. That said, some colleges, even on emergency use, were mandating that Duke University, Brown University, a number of others, private mm-hmm. schools mostly, mandated vaccinations for the returning students. I think we'll see that with more state schools. And people say, why? Because it is very disruptive
to have outbreaks in dormitories.
Yeah.
You have to test a lot of people, isolate them, quarantine them. That is very disruptive to general flow. It makes the student body feel unsafe when they know there's outbreaks in the dorms. And having everyone vaccinated would prevent that.
All right. Dr. Sag, we're up against the clock. We'll talk next week as well. But thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me back, JT.